Friends, I want to take up as our text this morning, verse 24 of Proverbs chapter 18, especially the words that we have before us. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. After the preaching of God's word, we will be singing that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I don't know if you know the background to the author of that hymn that is very familiar to us, but it was written by a man called Joseph Scriven, the son of a captain, John Scriven, who was in the early 1800s. He had this great ambition and plan for his life to train for a military career and to serve his country. But God had other plans. Joseph Scriven, he went to study in Dublin at Trinity College in Dublin. And while he was there, he came into contact with the gospel. He heard the word of God and gospel of Jesus Christ, and he was converted. And he discovered that he needed a personal savior, that simply church going wasn't enough, that he must be born again. He must be saved. His sins must be forgiven. And the Lord found him, and he found the Lord. And this great experience of salvation changed him completely. It changed the outlook of his life and the course of his life. After he finished his studies, he was engaged to be married to a woman. And yet, sadly, the night before they were to be married, she was drowned and she died in the River Bann in Ireland. Then he went away to Canada, and there he committed his life to be a preacher of the gospel, and he would go and preach to various people the word of God. And there she met another lady, and they were engaged again. And she fell ill. For 3 years she was very ill. And he did everything he could for her. He prayed for her. He nursed her. He did all things so that she would be restored back to health and they could be married. But she also died. And then for the remainder of his life, he did not marry, but he had this secret sorrow in his heart. And yet he served the Lord. He preached the gospel in Canada. But this hymn, he penned it after these two deaths of these two ladies in his life. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, because that's what he was experiencing. All the griefs the Lord, his friend, was bearing. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our friend too. Is he ours? If he is ours, then you have experienced him. You know him. Now, a real friend is scarce and rare in this life. There are many who will eat with us. There are many who would laugh with us in the sunshine of prosperity. There are people you would think that you will know for the rest of your life. But where are they now? But there are few who will stand by us in the days of darkness. Few who will love when we are sick, when we are helpless, when we are poor, when we are dying. Few, above all, who will care for our souls. I was talking to a young man in our church just on Friday night. And he said he has many people around him, but they are not. He counts them as friends, but they don't lead him in the right way. They don't want him to come to church. And I had to say to him, they are not your friends. If they were your friends, they would care for your soul. And they would think about themselves too. But few people are like that. Do you have real friends? Do you want a real friend? An unfailing friend? An unchanging friend? An abiding friend? That is this person who we are told in this proverb, there is a friend. He knew it. There is this friend, this, the, this, Solomon, the wise man, says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know him. I've not always been faithful to him, but he's always been faithful to me. He's stuck with me better than my brother. And this friend, dear friends, is a friend of lost sinners. If you will trust him and if you will repent of your sins and your ways, there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. A brother can cry with you, but Christ wipes away all our tears. A brother can pray with you, but Christ answers our prayers. A brother can share your difficulties and storms of life, but Christ calms your storms of life. A brother can die for you, but the Lord Jesus Christ rose for us and he lives for us. A brother can be a lawyer and a helper, but Christ can set us free. A brother can carry your body into a dark grave, but Christ can carry your soul into a bright and glorious heaven. A brother can stand by you, but Jesus Christ not only stands by you and with you in this life to the end, but he stands for you. This is the Savior. This is the friend that you must know. Dear friends, whatever it is you need, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for your need. So let me speak a little bit about this true friend. The true friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say that why do we need him? Why do we need the Lord Jesus Christ? For three simple reasons why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, a true friend who, we need to think of a true friend who was in our past. A true friend who was in our past. That's the kind of friend we need for our souls. If you were to look backwards in your life, to now, to today, what do you recall? What do you remember? You have, of course, precious memories, I'm sure. Do you remember maybe a father who prayed for you, a mother who prayed for you? Maybe you have memories of a faithful minister. Of course, those of you who've been brought up in this church, faithful minister here and faithful ministry, faithful church. Maybe there are people who've made definite resolutions. We all make all kinds of resolutions. And one day in your life, there was a great blessing that came to you. And you said, I'm not worthy of any of these things. Why God has been so good to me? I'm not worthy of the least of God's mercies. I know I ought to trust the Savior, but maybe you didn't. And the days are going by and death is approaching fast. And dear friends, you need Christ because of the past. You see, there are certain things in our past. In the past, we have known what? The burden of sin. That's one of the things we have known. Burden of sin. Christ spoke of this burden of sin and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He speaks about this burden that we are carrying, this thing that is heavily upon us, this heavy weight. The Lord Jesus Christ said that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, is in bondage of sin. Is sin a burden to you? Has it been a burden to you in your life past? Does it have a mastery over you? Do you know why one of the reasons why Jesus Christ saved the Apostle Paul on this road that he was on the road to Damascus? It was simply this, that he might go to the Gentiles and that through his ministry they might receive forgiveness of sins. That's what he said. That's what I've been called to go and preach to other people, to the nations around the world, that they might receive forgiveness of sins, because this sin is a great weight upon this land, upon the hearts of people. And you see it everywhere. You see it in the headlines. All the sad and bad things that we hear of in the news. It is not good news. It's bad news. It's fearful news. And the scripture says that there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's no one good, the Bible says. You see, we all have this, if I could use the term, this backpack. We were born with it. And you're carrying this backpack of sin with you all the time, everywhere. And we need that to be got rid of. We need to receive forgiveness of sins. And so the Bible is truth, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so this dark, this damnable, in this defiling thing called sin lies in all of our hearts. It's weighing upon our consciences. And it is like a termite. Termite is generally white. And they might look nice, but it is, they're gnawing at us and they're destroying us as they would the wood. Inside of the wood, the termite goes and eats away. And that's what sin does. And people don't appreciate that. So I hope if you are not a Christian, you realize this. You realize that you are under a power that's greater than your own. And that's why people go through this cycle, these habits and addictions and all kinds of things. And you ask, why can't I get over this? Why do I repeat the same things? And I make these resolutions. It's because you're bound up, you're chained to this sin. So our yesterdays are filled with sin. A record is not a good one. It's a blank record. But the Lord Jesus Christ says to us, this good friend who sticks closer to us than a brother, he says, come unto me. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me. He's saying to us, my precious blood will cleanse you. That blood which he shed on the cross instead of us. We should have died. We should have been punished. But he says, come unto me. I shed that blood. Come to me. And I will clothe you with my own perfect righteousness. I will save you. Do you not need a savior? Do you not need a friend like that? In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, he pictures this man, this pilgrim, this Christian man at the cross. And as he looks by faith to Christ on the cross, the burden of his sin fell off his back. And was buried in a grave. And then he goes and he sings to himself. He says, oh, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre. Blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. That's what he said when his burden was rolled away. Is this what you need to do? To trust in Christ and to see your burden rolled away. And then this... And in the past, yes, we have this burden of sin that you might think of. But also in your past, you have the blessing of God too. It's not all been bad. The old song, it tells you to count your blessings. Name them one by one. But whoever can count that high? How many blessings has God blessed you with in your life? Even if you're not a Christian, you've received many blessings. Food on your table, breath in your lungs, health in general. So many people have helped you and encouraged you. And if you have been brought up in a Christian home, people who prayed for you. If you begin to count up all of these blessings in your life, you will have to give up because there are so many. And so I hope your heart is filled with gratitude. You thank God for all of these things that you have seen and you've experienced and you've felt. And you can say, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. And surely I should be a Christian. Have you not experienced God's blessings? The what we would call temporal blessings, the blessings that are new every morning. The Bible says in God we live and move and have our being. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. You see, God knows what you need, all the things that you need. And so he provides all things richly to enjoy, the Bible says. And then there are providential blessings. God has kept you somehow, and you thought to yourself, well, how can I go through this situation in my life? And yet somehow you came through it. God provided for you different things. God has been kind to us. The sun has shined upon you. The rain has come. Even though in our unbelief. The Lord Jesus Christ said, even to the wicked, to the unrighteous, these things, God blesses them to show them his goodness and his grace. And this goodness of God, what should it do if you have experienced God's blessings? And I'm sure you have. Bible says it should lead you to repentance. It should lead you to realize that you need him. You need his forgiveness too, that blessing of salvation too. And that is gained by trusting in Christ and by repenting of your sins, turning around, putting away those old things and old life and following Christ. You need a friend who hears you. And have you prayed to the Lord in the past? Did he not rescue you from certain circumstances? Do you really seek close fellowship? Do you really seek that forgiveness from God, from this friend? But also, second thing is this, a true friend who is in our present. That's the kind of friend we need. A true friend who is in our present, not just in our past, that has been there for us and has helped us and has shown us our need of him in the past, but we need one now. We live in days of international chaos. There is a strain everywhere, on everybody, on every relationship. We are living in days that our Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 21 verse 26, days when men's hearts are failing them for fear. Fear is everywhere. And the media makes sure that you are put in fear, that you're always fearful of things. And so, if you want to have peace in your life, do what I do. Don't watch the news. I hardly know what's happening around the world, usually. It's people in our church, Pastor, we ought to be praying for this and that and the other thing. But don't you watch the news? I said, no, I don't. That's why I have nothing to worry about. And so it might help you. If you're constantly worried, stop watching certain things. Or not watch it every single day. Or if you do it, just do it once. It's all repeats anyway. But we need a Savior in this fearful world. And we need a Savior who says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We need a friend who says, be not afraid. Only believe. Jesus Christ is that friend. And there are many people who have tried to define what a friend is. A friend, we are told, is someone who knows all about you and loves you just the same. That's what the world would say. A friend is one who strengthens you with his prayers, blesses you with his love, and encourages you with his hope. Once there was a publication that offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And there are people who were writing in, and someone wrote this. A friend is one who multiplies joys and divides griefs. A friend is one who understands our silence. But the one that won the prize says this. A friend, the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Now Christ is that kind of a friend and more. He is a friend who never changes. There is no fickleness about him. Those whom he loves unto the end, it says in John 11. Oh, sadly, there are husbands who forsake their wives and wives who forsake their husbands. There are parents who I know who've cast off their children and they don't want to know them. There are siblings who've said, I don't want to know you anymore. You're dead to me. I heard this just this last week about this young man saying about his parents, they are dead to me. It's sad. It's very sad to hear this kind of a thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ never changes his feelings towards those of whom he has saved. Those who are his friends, they are friends forever. That's what we read, didn't we, in John 15 and verse 14. Ye are my friends, he says. Ye are. You're going to be my friends forever and ever. You're going to be following. You're going to obey my commandments. He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So the Lord speaks to us. The Lord Jesus reveals his will to us. He's our friend. We need a present friend. We need a friend who is there for us now, who is our friend now. We need his help, you see, at all times. In everyday living, what a comfort to know that the Savior himself walked the pathway that we walk. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. The Bible calls him the great high priest. He is touched with our infirmities. Because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He didn't sin, but he was tempted. And it's because of that that he says, come unto me, walk with me. I know all about your life. I've been where you are. I know all of the pitfalls and temptations. I can save you. I can sustain you. I can satisfy you. If you have me, then all other things will fade away. They take a lower place in your life. I can see you through things. And even to heaven, I can forgive you of your sins. Oh, what a Savior we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. Someone who will always be there for us. That's what the Christian is enjoying. There are two friends that I read of who were inseparable. They were listed for the First World War. They were shipped overseas and together, and they found themselves side by side in the trenches. And during one of the attacks, one of the men was critically wounded in a field with barbed wires between them. They couldn't get to each other. And this other friend, his name was Jim, and he wanted to go and see his friend, but the captain pulled him back into the trench. You're not going to go out. You're going to get yourself killed. You can't reach that man. And he is wounded. He's going to die anyway. Don't risk your life. It's too late. When that sergeant, he turned his back to this man, Jim, went for his friend. And he was shot at. But he brought his friend back, and he himself was wounded, critically wounded. He was going to die himself. And the sergeant was so angry. And he was deeply moved. And he said to this man, he said, what a waste. He's dead and you're dying. It's just not worth it. And so with almost his last breath, that dying man said, oh yes, Sarge, it was worth it. For when I got to him, the only thing that he said was, I knew you would come, Jim. And I read that and I thought, well, we have someone better than that. The Savior. We can trust him. I can say that in every situation, the Lord will come for us. The Lord will come for us in our dying hour. He helps us. He strengthens us. He takes us not to another trench, but he takes us to glory. He takes us to heaven. And we are assured of that. We can say when we see him face to face, I knew you would come. I was sure of it. He comes, he comforts us in our hours of temptation. He comes, he guides us when we call out to him. He's patient. He comes and deals with us in our moments of sorrow and comforts us. He's our consolation. He's our peace, the Bible says. And so, no wonder the Apostle Paul says in the Bible that having therefore obtained help of God, I continued. I obtained help of God, he says. And you can say, if you're a Christian, you can say, having obtained the help of God, I am continuing. I'm going forward. The Lord is sustaining me. Maybe there's someone here who's hesitant to come to Christ, to trust in Christ, because you say you can't keep it. You can't really continue in it. And you know, you are right. You can't keep it. You would not be able to keep Christianity. I couldn't keep it. But Christ keeps us. That's the point. It's Jesus Christ who keeps me. I'm kept, the scripture says. You are kept by the power of God. He's the one who sustains you. He's the one who helps you. But also, in this life, you and I, we need his healing at all times, at adverse times. There's a person who painted a picture of a woman who was grieving over the death of her husband. And then there was this older man above her, which the painter called Time, who was above her. And the title of the picture was The Mender of Broken Hearts, saying that time would heal everything. That time is the only comforter. But my friends, time is the only comforter if you're not saved. That's the only thing that you've got. But the Christian has a divine friend to heal his broken heart. How do you face life without Jesus Christ? How do you face your life without the Lord? How do you face the trials of life without the grace of God? We are living in a country now, mental health issues have skyrocketed. Relationships are broken. Loneliness exists everywhere. People are depressed over things that they need a friend. Why is that? Because they are living a life without the Lord. Now, I'm not lessening the issues regarding mental health. I'm talking generally here. How do you face the loneliness of life without the presence of Christ? How do you face the difficulties and the perplexities of life without the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ? So stand back and you see all of your trials, your difficulties, your sorrows, your burdens, your heartaches, your cares. The life that is too difficult, is too hard, too big for you. You can't continue alone. You need a savior, a friend, a guide. You need someone who sticks closer to you than any earthly brother. You need Christ. And then finally, you need a true friend who is in your future. We need a friend in the past, friend in the present, and a friend in the future. How do you face the future? Without this friend, without this savior. You see, in the future, there is going to be death. Every single one of us. All of us will die. This bodies of us will die. Your soul lives on, but your body will die. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes. The Bible says that it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. How will you meet death? Will you meet what the scripture calls the king of terrors? With terror? With fear? Because you know that when you die, it will usher you into hell? Or will you meet death with courage, with certainty, with calmness? Because you know where you're going. You know that even in the valley of the shadow of death, as we were singing earlier on, Christ, your good shepherd, Christ the Savior and your friend, will be with you. There's an old bishop called Bishop Beveridge. When he was dying, his mind had gone. He couldn't remember things. His friends would come to him and they would say, "Do you know me?" His wife would come and say, "I am your wife." And he said, I didn't even know that I was married. He couldn't remember anything. He couldn't remember anyone. And then there was somebody who came to him and said, "Do you know Christ? Do you remember Christ?" And then he said, "Yes. Yes, I know. I've known him," he said, "these 40 years and I never can forget him." It's amazing, isn't it? I've experienced this going into care homes and nursing homes. A person who doesn't remember you, doesn't remember anybody, and yet you begin to read the Word of God and they become excited. You sing a hymn and they begin to sing it. And there was this lady when I first went to the chapel and became the pastor there, and she was dying. And she was finishing off all the verses that I was reading to her. She remembered those, but she couldn't remember her name. She didn't know how to drink and how to eat. She had forgotten about the normal things, day-to-day things. But she remembered the Word of God and the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are talking about. That person was ready for death. But also, you see, in our future, there is judgment too. There's judgment. And things around us, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the wars, all of these things will tell you that Jesus Christ spoke of these things will happen before his coming. There's a day that is coming, dear friends, that God will judge the quick and the dead, the scripture says, the living and the dead. And then there is eternity too. Eternity. Death is not all. Judgment is not all. There are millions and millions of years beyond these events. And we can't count it. Imagine that. There is eternity that is awaiting. How are you going to face eternity? You see, we talk about where will you spend eternity. Well, it's easy to say it, but actually, theologically, it's not correct. You don't spend eternity. It's not something to be spent. But you will be there. It is a place you will be in eternity. So, where will you be in eternity? Do you have this friend? We read in that passage about a friend. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye are my friends." And then he said this is the love of God. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus said, "Ye are my friends." Oh, dear friends, do you know him? What a wonderful Savior he is. He is not only going to be there at our death. He's not going to be there at our day of judgment. And he will be there for us in eternity. You were Christ's enemies by nature. And yet Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And so you have that very memorable word that we read again and again, and it is preached upon again and again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That's the kind of friend God is. And that's the kind of friend his only begotten son is. That he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We were his enemies, but the God who is the friend of our souls came. God was manifest in the flesh, and he died instead of us. He is the Savior and the friend that you need. Oh, that we might trust him. Oh, trust him now. Trust him. Repent of your sins now. Tell him that you have rejected his friendship all this time. You had ignored his friendships. You had ignored the hand that was stretched out to you. He's called the friend of sinners. Let that encourage you. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. But he's called the friend of sinners and publicans, the evil men. Oh, dear friends, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus then. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee this morning for this friend in Christ. We pray that we might know him as our own friends, that we might know him as the one who will not leave us nor forsake us, the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh Lord, we bless thee for that. We thank thee that he is not going to cast us out, all who would come to him. So we pray that this place would be visited by thy salvation, that this place would be visited with thy presence, and that all of thy people would know thy help. So Lord, remember us for good through this day, and we shall glorify thee. Pardon our sins. Forgive us, O God, all things that has offended our heavenly friend. And we pray that we might know what it is to have our sins lifted from us and cast away into the depths of the sea. We ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll close by singing together that hymn 398. 398. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. 398.
The
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.